the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The gospel of today is probably very familiar to all of us. It's the feeding of the 5,000. And the church reads this for us typically, you know, on every fifth of the month, of every Coptic month, every fifth Sunday. But also reads it to us today, which is the third Sunday of the blessed month of Abib. And in it, we can kind of look at this and look at how great our God is and how loving He is that when the people came to Him at a time where He wanted to be alone, maybe by Himself and with His disciples, to get some rest, He didn't turn them away. He didn't reject them. So actually, today I would like to talk about what in this particular story did the Lord want to communicate to His disciples. What did the Lord Christ want to teach? I'm sorry, not the disciples, but the multitude. What did he want to teach the people in this story? I think the first thing that He wanted to teach us as His people is that He was always ready to receive us and to give us rest. And as we heard from the text, it said that then He took them, being the disciples, and went aside privately to a deserted place. So He went privately to a deserted place to be with His disciples, to teach them, maybe to give them some guidance, counsel, or even to, you know, take some rest at the end of the day. But it says that when He knew that they were when they knew where He was, when the people knew where He was, they followed Him, and He received them. And here we see a beautiful characteristic of our Lord Jesus Christ as being the physician of our souls and bodies. You know, as a true physician, the Lord is interested in their spiritual and physical healing, even if it's at His own expense. He was interested in their healing, even if it was at His expense. And you can kind of say that our Lord Christ had an open door policy. You know, how often, you know, when you go and you interview with somebody for a job and the manager tells you, you know, I have an open door policy. The first thing you feel is like, okay, good. He will hear me or she'll hear me anytime that I, you know, have something to say. You know, she has an open door policy, so I'll, you know, I can go talk to them. The same thing with the Lord. He has an open door policy. Whenever you want to speak with Him in prayer, He's available. Whenever you want to worship Him, He's there to accept your worship and your praise. So He has an open door policy. And I think the lesson that we can learn as believers from this, or the first lesson, is for us to do the same thing. And, you know, giving rest to others, even if it comes at my own expense. Our teacher, St. Paul, tells us in 1 Corinthians, he says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the well-being, or the other's well-being." So let no one seek his own, but the well-being of others. How beautiful of will our families be? Will the church be? Will the world be if we all lived by this commandment? Let us not seek our own, but the well-being of others. You know, it's very sad to hear sometimes that, you know, a husband or something doesn't want to hear his wife complain, or his wife ever, you know, say she had a bad day. He always, you know, if you're going to complain, don't talk to me. Where is the wanting to give the other person the rest and giving them and searching out for their own well-being? And the same for the ladies. How many of us, you know, tell our husbands, you know, don't stop nagging me, or I don't want to listen to you, or vice versa, whichever way, you know, might work. But let us have that ear or that heart that it is willing to bear with the other person. I'd rather, you know, be expensed, or the expense be on my behalf than your behalf. This is true love, and this is what Christ did. He said, although I'm tired and I want to rest and I want to be with my disciples, He still accepted them and healed them and gave them all that they needed and feeded them as well. So even for the youth and for the young children, how many of us keep this in our mind? Okay, how can I be a rest to those who are around me? Or how can I give rest to those who are around me? And the youth especially, you know, you guys are filled with energy. You have, you know, you're healthy, and you have some time on your hands oftentimes, especially during the summer. How many of us think, how can I give rest to my parents, for example? Do I do the simple chores that maybe our parents ask us to do? Or do I just sit around and play games all day and end up doing nothing? We have to seek how to give rest to others if we want to be living in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing we can learn from this beautiful story is that true nourishment comes to those who follow him to the deserted place. True nourishment comes to those who follow him to the deserted place. It said then he took them and went aside privately to a deserted place. He wanted to give the disciples something special, some extra, you know, nourishment. And let us keep in mind, when he fed the 5,000, it said that they were with him all day listening to what he had to say. So he was feeding them the first and foremost, which is our spiritual nourishment. And then, you know, his disciples actually reminded him, oh, these people are hungry. Why don't you feed them? And he said, no, you give them to eat. I already fed them their spiritual nourishment. You give them to eat. But then they looked at, oh, we can't. So they turned to him for their physical nourishment. And he gave it to them. But he was more concerned with the spiritual nourishment. And actually, if we look at this gospel, it's the only miracle that's mentioned in all four gospels. And as I was reading this, I was comparing between the gospels. And if you compare between the gospel in St. Luke and the gospel of John, you see a bit of a difference. In the gospel of Luke, which we read today, it says, he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. So that's what it says about the people here. And what about in John? He says, then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So you have two, you know, it seems it's the same incident, but being reported from two different people. St. Luke reported it that the people followed him, or there were some people that followed him, you know, to hear his word. And there was another group of people that followed him because they saw the signs that he did. So you have both of these groups of people following him because they're following him for his word and who he is, and another for the signs that he does. And Christ responds differently to these two groups. He responded differently. To the group that sought him and labored with him the whole day, he gave them, you know, their food. So he accepted those who sought him for who he is, for his word, and for him being the prophet or the representative of God to their understanding at the time. But how did he respond to the other people that were seeking him just for the miracles or just for the signs that he did? How did he respond? Actually, because he was doing miracles, they wanted to make him a king. So it says that in St. John, and when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. So to the group that sought him for the miracles and to make him king, and they want to, you know, make him an earthly ruler and all these things, what did he do? He avoided them. So how am I seeking the Lord? Why am I here today? Am I here for communion with him, or am I here asking him for a miracle, asking him? These are all things are fine. These are good to do. But the purpose, if I don't get them, will I still be here next week or the week after or the year after? The people who are following him because of who he is, because of his word, because of the words of life that he has, these are the ones that he accepted without any regard to his inconvenience. So this teaches us, you know, that in order to seek out the Lord, we need to have this deserted place. We need to be in this deserted place. And this deserted place is the quiet time, the spiritual time that we have with God alone. Oftentimes we're used to the, you know, usual routine. We get up, we pray, and we read the Bible or whatever, and we go and dash out the door. But how many of us spend a couple of moments to listen to God, to meditate on the words that we have just read, a minute or two? It's not gonna, you know, kill your day, but just quiet. Don't read, don't finish your prayer and sit quiet and listen to what God has to say? How many of us stop for a moment and just be silent? And this is the deserted place where we allow God to speak. You know, I believe St. Augustine said something very nice. He says, silence the mind and the heart will speak. Silence the heart and God will speak. So let's go to search, you know, give time, give God this quiet time so that we can hear him speak to us in our life. The third lesson we can learn from the story as a multitude is that not all those who were sick were healed. It was only those who felt that they were in need that were healed. Just like now, you don't go to the doctor unless you feel that you were sick, unless you felt that you were in need. Those who felt that they were in need went to Christ and he healed them. Those who decided to remain at home weren't healed. So many of us can kind of think to ourselves and say, okay, I have maybe a spiritual disease and I don't know my own sickness. So what shall I do? What shall I do? And now my answer to you is just to follow him. To follow him and your sickness will become evident. It will become revealed. Just like when you're next to the light, everything becomes clear. The spots and stains that you have on your shirt will become clear. As long as we remain in the darkness, we don't see anything and we stumble. St. Ambrose says something nice about this parable. He says, when man begins to listen, he feels hungry. The disciples perceive this hunger, but do not fulfill it. It is Christ who satisfies them. So, when man begins to listen, he feels hungry. Hungry here is not for the physical food, but it's for the spiritual food. It's for God. When man begins to listen to God, he then becomes more hungry for him. And that's why the Lord Christ says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For what? For they shall be filled. If there is that hunger, he shall fill. So those who were felt that they were sick and in need and felt hungry, those are the ones who were healed. Also, the fourth thing we can learn from this story as a multitude is the food that our Lord Jesus Christ provides is strong enough to support us throughout this worldly journey. So the food that Christ provides is strong enough to support us throughout our journey in this life. And there's like a nice kind of example of this of Elijah. When Elijah was fleeing Jezebel and King Ahab, he was very scared, and she basically threatened him that, you know, one of us is going to die, or I'm not going to see you again. So what does he say, or what does the Lord come and tell Elijah? He says, and the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. He's telling him to arise and eat because he was out of fear. He was so scared that he wasn't eating. So the angel comes and tells him, arise and eat because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So the angel said, arise and eat, for the journey for you to escape Jezebel and King Ahab is too far. So he ate what the angel supplied him, and he stayed 40 days and 40 nights on that food. So this shows us that the food that God provides for us, which is his word and the Eucharist and these things, are all strong enough to sustain us spiritually throughout our life on this in this world. So we can learn from this that when God supplies food, he supplies both physical and spiritual, but he supplies it in abundance to where it's able to supply us with the nourishment we need for the rest of our life. And we can kind of think of it as an open buffet. God kind of has an open buffet, all you can eat. The Bible is always at your house and ready to be read. But how many of us really, you know, chew on the words that are in the Bible? You know, how many of us leave it there until Abuna comes? We dust it off before Abuna comes, and thank God Abuna comes and calls us before he comes. Because if he came, you know, as, you know, a thief in the night, and just knocked on our door, it'd be musiba, because we wouldn't know where the Bible is. But yani, let's keep the Bible on our desk, on, you know, anywhere we sit, in front of our computer before we, you know, start surfing the internet. Let's open the Bible and read His Word. So the food that we get, that God supplies, that is able to sustain us through life, is His Word, the Word of God. As we remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was tempted, He said to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? But what? But every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this is what's going to sustain us through our life. So we must be reading our Bible. The psalmist also says something nice. He says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. How can a man cleanse his way? How many of us know that there is something in my life that I need to cleanse? Whether it be anger, whether it be resentment, whether it be hatred, whether it be pride, whether it be filthy language, whether it be, you know, wanting to show off or wanting to be attention, or wanting, you know, being concerned with the externals, how I look, what I put on, how I dress. How many of us look and say, there's something, Lord, that I need you to cleanse, and that's why I'm here today? And He's telling us, by taking heed according to your word, we will not be able to cleanse any impurities that we have without Him and His word. So the Bible will reveal to us and show us how. It'll show us the example of those beautiful people in the Bible who have conquered the same weaknesses that I have. You know, when you look at David, the prophet, who one time he got angry and he at his at the king, and he was going to take vengeance on him. But then the king's wife, Abigail, came and she, you know, gently rebuked him. And he was like, you know, she's right. I shouldn't have done this. I'm not going to go kill this king and his people. But he stayed as he was, and he learned his lesson. So if I have the same thing, if I have this compulsive anger problem, the Bible will teach us how to remedy that. If I have the lust of the flesh, the Bible will teach us how to remedy that. But we have to open it and read it. The Eucharist is also a part of this open buffet. You know, every week, or maybe several times a week, we have the Divine Liturgy. And as we know very well, the Lord said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. So this is the life-giving bread that came down from heaven. Also, the food that is given to us in this open buffet is also the sharing of the Word of God. The sharing of it. Not just the Word of God itself, but the propagation of this word, the sharing, the evangelism of this word. When, if you remember in the story of the Samaritan woman, after, you know, he spoke with the Samaritan, the disciples came back to him and said, Rabbi, eat. And then he says to them something. He says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So he didn't eat anything physical, but he's telling them that he ate something, but they're not, they don't understand what it is that they ate. So it says, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Of course not. No one brought him anything to eat. So Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And what is this work? Is that all people might live. All people might hear the gospel, the good news. This is his work and our work. So the food that is part of this buffet that is given to us to partake of is evangelism and spreading the word of God. This is actually not a favor we're doing for other people, but it's the food that we get to sustain our life. And believe me, for those of us or anybody who is engaged in any kind of conversation with somebody maybe who's a non-believer or maybe a coworker or a friend, I think we have left the conversation benefiting more than maybe the other person. Why? Because we realize, oh, there's something that I don't understand about my faith. Let me go back and look it up. or let me go ask Abuna about it, or ask one of the servants. So actually, we found a deficiency in my life or my understanding, and God has revealed it to me, so I can go back and figure it out. So it is a food that we receive. The last and final thing that we can learn from this story of feeding of the 5,000 and what he wants to teach the multitude is that hospitality receives rich recompense. Hospitality, showing people kindness and being hospitable, is rewarded greatly by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at what the disciples, you know, were able to scrounge together, 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's all we had. And then they gave it to the Lord Christ as an offering, and he multiplied it and satisfied the 5,000. And then what happens at the end of that? How much did they have left over? They have 12 baskets. And how many disciples were there? There were 12. So one of the fathers says that each one of the disciples received a basket full to take home. So they all received a doggy bag to go home with them. And not just a small bag, but a basket full. So the reward to those who show hospitality, who served other people, the reward from God is multiplied many times over. Our teacher, St. Paul, says to the Hebrews, he tells them, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." So those who entertain strangers have entertained angels. And I know, yani, God has given me kida, yani, favor in his eyes to serve him as a priest. And as such, I've seen, yani, people take in people that they've never met before. They go pick them from the airport and house them and take them into their own house. And, you know, they spend a couple of days there. This person or these people who do this are really hosting angels. And we have to remember, too, the story of Saint Bishoy. Remember Saint Bishoy's story? The monk said, "Oh, somebody said that the Lord Christ is going to appear on the mountain." So all the monks went up, running up to the mountain, and Saint Bishoy found this old man that couldn't make it up. So he said, "There's no way that I'm going to go see the Lord Christ and leave this man here at the bottom of the hill. Let me take him. Let me carry him, put him on my shoulder, and take him with me." And as we know, as he was going up the mountain to meet the Lord, he looked down and he saw the marks of the nails in the feet of this man that he was carrying. So because of his hospitality, he was rewarded much. In the story, the tradition tells us that he went and washed the feet of the Lord Jesus, and how he was wishing that his brothers, the monks, would be able to partake of this water that he had washed the feet of the Lord with. But unfortunately, they were preoccupied with this vision that they were going to see, that they missed the weightier of the matter, which is hospitality. So our Lord rewards hospitality very much. And if we remember the Lord Christ, when he gave us a parable about a man any of us who throw a feast. He says in Luke chapter 14, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." How many of us search in a way to give so that we're not repaid? How many of us give and say, I got this person a $50 or $100 birthday gift. How many of us give in this way, where we give in search of something in return? Oh, if I don't give, they're not going to give to my child. How many of us give in this way? How many of us offer help to somebody, لو فيها مصلحة, or if there's something kidda that's in it for me, if there's a relationship? Oh, I'll wash my boss's car, but my neighbor's car, no way. How many of us think like that? If we do, let's reconsider. Let's do all things as if we do it to the Lord. As St. Paul says to the Colossians, he says, "And whatever you do, do heartily." Heartily means مكل قلبك, with all your heart. And you do it because you want to, because you're doing it as a service to the Lord. And he continues and says, "As to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance and you serve the Lord Christ. So any hospitality or hospitable act you do, do it as to the Lord, not as to a person. And that will give us the reward from God. Whether we get repaid or not, that's not the issue, because we know our recompense will come from God in heaven. May God grant us, O Lord, to learn from these few things, and I'll repeat them very quickly. So what does the Lord Jesus Christ want to teach us, or teach the multitude from this parable? The first, he wants us to be to know and to always that he has an open door policy. He's always willing and ready to hear us and to give us rest. And the same thing we should also try to seek for the rest of others. The true nourishment comes from him and to those who go with him to the departed place or deserted place, I'm sorry. The third was that not all those who were sick were healed, only those who felt that they were in need and went to him for healing. Also, the fourth is the food that God provides is strong enough and powerful enough to feed us throughout our journey in this life. So there's nothing else that we need to look for nourishment outside of his word. And also, lastly, that hospitality receives great rich recompense from the Lord. May God grant us to be filled with hospitality and kindness to our brothers and sisters, to deal with each other in gentleness and love. And glory be to God forever. Amen.